There are three statements that Jesus makes in John's gospel. The first one is when he speaks to his mate John and says, "Here's your mother, look after her." And his mother, "Here's John." There's a lot to discuss there in the sense of his understanding that he's creating a new community, that he wants his mother to be cared for. The second word is "I thirst," which in Greek is only one word, dipsal, so it's a singular word, "I thirst." And the third phrase is "it is finished." And today I'm just going to drill down on one phrase, "I thirst." And if you understand something about Jewish thinking, every imagery, every phrase like this has layers of meaning. And I'm going to show you three layers of meaning from the word "I thirst" today from scripture and try and plumb the depth of a single word. Because I think there's so much to it that we can really benefit from it. So let me read to you verses 28 to 30, where Jesus says, "I thirst." After this, Jesus, knowing all that was now finished, said, to fulfill scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So we've got to ask the question, what did Jesus mean when he said, "I thirst"? Is he simply saying, "My throat is parched first thing in the morning," or "I need something to drink"? Not really, because he's got so much more going on here at the moment than his thirst. He's got a lot more pain than a dried throat. The narrator actually tells us why he says it. In fact, the word "I thirst" is bracketed by two phrases. "Now that all has been finished," as rightly taught to us by Mel, and "to fulfill scripture." In other words, by Jesus saying "I thirst," he's capturing something about his own existence and his life and what he's done, and something about the will of God and scripture, all caught up with one word. Jesus is actually quoting Psalm 69 from the Old Testament, and it's not insignificant. Psalm 69 in the Old Testament is about King David. King David is in the wilderness. You know something about King David? He's the guy who is the anointed king of Israel. Well, what happens to him? Twice in his life, he's kicked out of Israel, he's being hounded, and he's isolated in the desert, where he says, "I thirst." And what Jesus is doing is alluding to the image of Israel's rejected king. He's saying it's been God's plan all along that his king would be rejected by his own people, so to speak, that his king would be rejected by governors and rulers and authorities, and his king would be rejected by the world. He says, "I thirst," because he's actually been rejected as part of God's plan. There's something a bit more profound going on here as well. Not only is he rejected by society, religious leaders, governors, Roman Empire, the public, we understand from this side of the cross that he was rejected by his father. He's utterly isolated from all of human and universal existence. There is an isolation and a separation that he endures that has never been endured by anyone ever before. Jesus is rejected by his own Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's out in the wilderness. The world gave the king, whether it's David or Jesus, wine, vinegar to drink. They rejected him. Which, of course, leads us to a very simple yet profound question for you to answer this Easter. What do you think about Jesus? The first century rejected him. and gave him sour wine vinegar to drink. The one who loves the world, the one who dies for the world, who suffers for the world, and is the way, the truth, and the life. The one who gave us existence and gave us the breath of life. He, the one who shaped you in your mother's womb, who knows all the hairs on your head, who knows a word before you even speak it, a thought before you even bring it together. He's the one who reaches out to you and dies for you and asks you today, what do you think of me? It is our nature to reject him and to give him not water, but sour wine to drink. But there is another layer here where Jesus crying out, he does so picking up on the human experience. The fact that Jesus is isolated from God the Father and cries out, I thirst, picks up not just in the human physical condition of thirst, but the idea that separation from God, we are left with a deep spiritual thirst or a deep spiritual hunger that cannot be satisfied. Mick Jagger wrote a song about this. Know which one it is? Hear it? Have you heard it? I get no satisfaction, right? Here is a man who has everything. I can get no satisfaction. I can get no satisfaction because I try and I try and I try and I try. He speaks about the emptiness of the consumer culture, the inability to find true fulfillment through material goods, media, or relationships. He sings, when I'm driving in my car and the man comes on the radio, he's telling me more and more about some useless information. Still true, isn't it? The stack of useless information out there. I'm watching my TV, he says. A man comes and tells me how white my shirt should be. What's he saying? He's saying that the world is trying to get us to present ourselves superficially through projection of who we want to be, not who we are. And he talks about sex and relationships. And I'm trying to make some girl, he says. Reflects the sexual frustration, but also critiques the shallow pursuit of pleasure as a substitute for a much deeper satisfaction. Indeed, Mick Jagger and Jesus both acknowledge the human dilemma, I thirst. Today amongst young people, and for some of you here today, there's much talk about identity and who I am. And the whole point is that you are to see self-determinative about your identity rather than establish your identity through relationships with one another or through your relationship with God. And if you listen to certain social media aspects, they want to tell you that your entire identity is captured by perceived gender or by perceived sexual attraction or simply by biology. You're either this or you are that. It is such a reductionistic view of the world and of yourself. Please ignore it. All of us, whether it's young or old, still have this space in our life where we search for the meaning, the purpose, the value, the love, and self-identity. All those things that we don't have them in absolute sense becomes the things that our soul thirsts for. And we get that, don't we? When you thirst for something, there is something missing, something that can satisfy us. I want to present you Jesus this Good Friday. To young people who are working out their identity, to older people who've tried everything and still have no satisfaction. I want to recount to you a story from John's Gospel that talks about thirst, about hunger, about satisfaction, about meaning and seeking life. And in doing so, I invite you to find satisfaction for your soul. Story comes from John's Gospel, John chapter 4, the woman by the well, the woman of Samaria, is an incredibly provocative scene. The well is not just a place where you draw water from in the first century. The well is a place where women often went to get water, but also where blokes went to pick up a woman. And there's Jesus all alone, and a Samaritan woman comes up and joins him. His disciples have left a bloke and a woman sitting at a well. It is interesting. Discussion starts. Jesus says to the woman, "You've been married 5 times, and the man you're living with now is not your husband." You get a sense in which this woman is searching. This woman is trying relationships and sex to find her purpose, her meaning, and her value. It sounds so much like our present sexualized culture. And she's at the point where she's still looking for sex. Well, it certainly looks like it. She approaches Jesus and says, "Can I help you draw water from the well?" Water and well are Jewish euphemisms for sex. Samaritan woman, married 5 times, living with the guy, it's not her husband, looking to hook up, sees Jesus and she swipes. Left or right? I'm not sure. Right, I guess. But what does Jesus do? Does he rip in and say, "You harlot, what are you doing? That your life is worthless?" No. Listen to the conversation Jesus has with her. Jesus says to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." A spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water." Jesus understands her. He understands she's trying everything to satisfy her soul. But Jesus says, you're going to be thirsty again. You can drink from the well of the world. Whether it's sex, whether it's career, whether it's popularity, whether it's success, you can drink it, and I promise you, you'll still be thirsty. It will not satisfy your soul. Jesus' promise is a thirst that'll be quenched. Not just quenched, that it becomes a spring to everlasting life that is there for you to drink constantly. If you like, there's the world, it's empty. You can drink from it, it will not satisfy you. I don't know who put that there, but thank you for that. Jesus promises satisfaction. And the invitation comes on Good Friday, good news from God, where Jesus, the one who thirsts, so he can offer satisfaction for us. What specifically is water? What is this water? In a word, it's God's grace. This is what humanity is looking for. God's grace is when God looks at you and says, "I will not treat you as your sins deserve." God's grace says, "You hate me, I'm going to be committed to loving you. And my love for you, if it's an everlasting love, it is going to cost you love. Actually, I'm going to pour out my own life and my blood and separate from God the Father to prove how much I love you. You can keep pushing me back, but I'm there with you and I ain't going anywhere." And he does that at a personal cost to himself. And then he says, "You can keep stuffing up, I am still there. I'm going to give you the love that you are looking for. You want a love that never fails." Every relationship we have is so often based on works. "I will treat you well if you treat me well. And I'm going to earn the affection of the other." Not so with Jesus. He loves you because he chooses to love you, and nothing you can do can stop him from loving you. He has an incredibly strong love, the love that we all need to be satisfied, because we know that we are not lovable most of the time, that we have a certain self-centeredness, a certain hardness of heart, a certain despising of God. And yet we have a God and a Savior says, I'm going to love you anyway. I'm not going to love you just today, but I'll love you tomorrow. Not only that, I want to bring you into my eternal family. And the one day is I'm going to meet you face to face and wipe every tear from your eye, face to face. And I promise, God says, by giving of himself, not just Jesus, but of himself in his Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you of myself to guarantee you I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. That is God's grace. That is the love that we all long for. That gives us our identity, our worth, our purpose, and our satisfaction. It is the only answer to satisfy your thirst. And this Good Friday, God proves his love for you in this, that while you rejected him, he loved you and died for you. Before we loved God, God loved us. That is the grace of God, and that is what can satisfy your soul. Good Friday's cross, Jesus thirsts that you might be satisfied. He's emptied that you may be filled and overflowing. He is forsaken that you might be brought near. He dies parched so you can drink deeply of God's grace. Can I encourage you to stop? To stop looking for purpose and meaning and value through sexuality, through the endless cycle of more and more performance, more and more outward beauty. If you're on that treadmill, it would destroy you and your life, and you'll be left an insatiable thirst. If you are caught up in, like this woman, sexual satisfaction, you will be led into enslavement, the dishonoring of your body in others, and leave a trail of destruction, and again, unsatisfied under God's judgment. Jesus alone offers what our souls were made for. The cross proves how far he would go to give it to you. Ask him, give me a drink, and he will open up his arms wide and give you a wellspring of life into eternity. Let me pray.